Hi, I'm Daryl Felsberg.
I'm Brandon Davidson. We're both professional comics, and we travel the country telling jokes.
We don't always get along or even see eye to eye on things, but we've got two things in common.
We're funny, and we love barbecue.
Damn right. Each episode, we meet up with a comedy friend or a celebrity in some of the best barbecue dives in the world, and we record it live.
Food and funny? It doesn't get any better than that.
This is Comedy Barbecue. All right, welcome to Comedy Barbecue. I'm Daryl.
I'm Brandon.
And we are here with our guest. And Tyler's here, of course.
And Tyler. And,
Tyler's here.
Head of research.
Head of research and intern. And our guest is, you know him from the Police Academy movies. You know him from Spaceballs.
With Mel Brooks.
And a gremlin, Michael Winslow, our new friend. He's just going to make.
Listen to that crowd. They love the barbecue here.
A lot of people here at Country Tavern in Kilgore, Texas.
Where are we at? We're at Country Tavern.
Everyone's
in Kilgore, Texas.
Right.
Michael and I just rolled into town. Roll is a fast word.
You guys were a couple minutes late. What was going on?
We were pulled over. And I'm not going to lie. Here's what happened. The guy pulls me over. I'm doing 68 and a 50.
Woo! Woo!
And he's going to make sound effects. There he goes. Those are not Tyler. That is Michael. Tyler's not. Tyler, your version? Do some sound effects real quick. That's
Ric Flair.
Wait a minute. That's a Rick Rollins noise.
That's a Rick Rollins. Yeah, pretty close.
Whoa! Gas monkey.
So we get pulled over.
I hate gas monkey.
68 and a
55. I love gas monkey.
And I'm not going to lie. I get pulled over, right? And there's a white guy driving and a black guy. We're in East Texas.
You guys are trafficking drugs.
I deem it necessary.
We got us a salt and pepper thing.
I deem it necessary that when that officer is asking for my license and he says, where are you going? What are you doing? I said, well, or where'd you come from? He said, we're coming from Paris, Texas.
Yes.
We're heading to Tyler, Texas for a show. And right now we're going to go record a podcast in Kilgore. And this is my friend, Michael Winslow. You may know him from the Police Academy movies. And when I did that...
Oh, yeah, I know who that is. I know who that is.
He says, oh, man, yes, great to meet you. Shakes the hand, says, well, I've got to run your license. And, of course, I'm a Texan. I hand him my license to carry, you know that.
Right.
And my regular license. Tyler should be aware of both of those issues. I gave it to him. He takes him back. He says, I'm just going to let you know, if you don't have a history of speeding, it's probably just going to be a warning. 68 and a 55.
Wow.
And he comes back with a warning. And, of course, he comes back with, here's your warning, and could I trouble you? It's totally random. It's totally a volunteer. Can I get a picture with you?
And like, I said, hell yeah, man. I like the uniforms. You're looking good, man.
That's awesome. Get out of the car, take a photograph. And I, being the consummate asshole comic, knowing that he's going to get all the attention, I'm like, well, make sure, let's get a we'll get a selfie with me in there.
That's, you gave me your credits?
You remember me from a show that didn't happen, that never got off the ground, and I was fired from.
Oh,
Shoppers
yeah.
Club. So, yeah, that's, let's see.
Shoppers Club.
No, that's a great story. You'd like to hear that one.
Talk about that one.
Well, there we go. There's a selfie with Officer Owings? Was it Owings?
Owings,
something like that. And there's a Michael Winslow and Daryl Felsberg.
We're going to put this up on the Comedy Barbecue Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll put it on the website, too. Yeah. It's a great
tell
story.
Tell them we love coming out here.
Right.
Yeah. It was fun. So, all right, Brandon, let's start with topics.
Topics, huh?
So, just talking about, you guys rolling in, I was thinking about the drive from Paris to Tyler.
Yes.
You know, for the comedy festival this weekend, East Texas Comedy Festival, we've had comics coming around from all over.
Oh.
And so I just started to think about road trips. So I'd love to go around the table, talk about maybe a road trip memory as a kid, like a vacation where you're in the car for a long time, or as a comic, like some sort of long haul story, something that's happened on the road, and just kind of see where we go with it.
All right. You want to roll? Do you have something?
I don't have anything in the chamber, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's see. We got to think of a road trip. Do you want like a bad story or a good story?
You don't care. Just give me a story.
Yeah, you know what? I'm trying to think of one. That's a hard one. They've all been good.
I'll start with one.
You have one?
Yeah. So my best friend growing up, a Vietnamese guy named Duc Tran, and he convinced his parents that his learner's permit was his actual driver's license.
Oh.
So at 14 years old, we convinced his parents that we were lock and loaded. We were good to go. So we loaded up a group of guys and we drove from Batesville, Arkansas to St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. That's an episode of The Simpsons. Did you see that? Where they go to the World's
actually,
Fair?
It's more an, actually, this is a Tosh.0 episode. Yeah. Intervention episode.
And so we, I could grow a mustache starting in about, you know, between 5th and 6th grade.
This is gay already, but keep going.
So we drive to St. Louis. I check us into the hotel with cash, and we stay there for the week. We race go-karts. We go to baseball
games. This is a real story.
Yeah. We almost died in a diner. But it was a great week, and our parents all thought that we were camping and staying the night at each other's house.
Y'all was camping, all right.
This is
off the last episode where you had your thievery ring at the Walmart stores.
Okay, to follow up, this was actually those group of guys, and that's how we bankrolled that trip. Actually,
was off your Walmart shoplifting ring.
We took an old video game system and took it out of its box, and we put some weight inside of it and resealed it, and took it back to a Walmart in Searcy, Arkansas.
Jesus Christ! Man.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah, I think Session Limitations have ran out on that.
You know,
bricks, man. It's like having bricks. Yeah.
This guy since then has been a youth leader in the church.
12 years,
right? So turned his life around, and then became a comic. So he's turning it right back around.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, that's
well, somebody's gonna need a console sooner or later. Somebody's gonna need a console.
Somebody had a shitty Christmas. Some poor kid, who probably won it like in a Make-A-Wish thing. He's an orphan.
You know what? I never really thought about that side of it.
What was it? Was it an Xbox? Well, no, it's a long time ago.
This was a Sega Genesis.
Oh, Jesus. That's
so
a long time
super
ago.
Super old.
You mean a Sega?
Yeah. That's
Sega.
Yeah, with the Sonic the Hedgehog, the whole thing.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yes.
Some kid, 1993, dying wish was to have a Sega Genesis, and instead
Dad,
he got a
it's all
brick and some 5-pound weights to work out in.
Well, you know what?
Just a chunk of a cinder block.
And now the kid's a better kid now because he went out and got buffed.
Oh, you saved his life.
You know, that's how I like to think of it.
He started exercising.
Catching bricks like Jerry Rice.
Yeah. Just got strong hands.
Oh, I was going to say, did she just bring us an empty bowl? That's it?
She brought us a bowl. Those are for your napkins.
Oh, yeah. All right, bring it up.
And here's the deal, guys. Country Tavern. In East Texas, there's a long-standing rib rivalry between Country Tavern and Stanley's as far as who has the best pork ribs.
Oh, really?
Who's winning?
I'm here to tell you, they are both fantastic. They're both phenomenal. I'm looking at this and I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah.
I'm gonna grab out the onions. Do you want anything else?
No, I think we're okay right now. Thank you.
Thanks.
You bet. Okay.
Wow.
So, food is here. I'm trying to think about. Okay. My uncle Gary was kind of a loon. Rest his soul. Nice guy, but he was kind of a loon. My dad worked in the oil fields, and he was working at a derrick, and he had fallen out and caught a cable and pulled his arm out of socket, and they took him to the hospital and what have you. So once he got better, we had to go back out to the rig site with him, which was in Laredo, to pick up his motorcycle because of his Harley Davidson, and he would go out there at the rig site, and he would live in a tent. And so we had to go back and get his tent, his sleeping bag, and his motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
And my Uncle Gary was hopped up on something because they wouldn't let me go to the tent because he was talking to angels. It was just, I was 9. Things didn't go well. That's a road story for you that I can think of in a synopsis. I can't think of anything bad. I've never been part of a thievery ring.
Good.
I can't compare to that.
Well, I mean, you and I, we've had some fun on the road.
Sure.
We stopped. We just went through like New Mexico, Arizona, and you guys don't know this. If you're fans of the podcast, you don't get some of this stuff. But
what?
I'm about to share with them. Daryl is an amateur arborist. This dude knows more about trees than. I'm not sure who knows all about trees.
I have
a tree man.
I love trees. I just like to identify them. They take me back to different places, and I love trees.
What's your favorite tree?
Oh, I didn't know this was going to be a topic, but Tyler, let's answer that.
A And we'll go around.
It depends on where I'm at, Tyler. Let's talk about where I'm at.
Okay.
I'm in East Texas, so I like a good oak or a pecan for barbecuing. And I think it's a beautiful tree. Now, if I'm in South Texas, Tyler, I enjoy a good mesquite. There's a hybrid thornless mesquite that a lot of people aren't aware of that's really cool. And then if I'm in West Texas, you know, I like getting right in that New Mexico, and you kind of get to that pinyon area. There's something about it's the smell of a good burning pinion.
And there's tons. I didn't realize, but there's a lot of pecan.
And a good smoker.
Oh,
damn good smoker.
See that?
Okay.
All right.
So first reaction to the barbecue, real quick.
Oh my god.
The bark on this brisket. This is unreal. This beef brisket is so good.
I haven't got. It passed the fork test. Mm-hmm. I'm stuck on the. I just moved from left to right. I do it very meticulously. We know that. I'm in the potato salad range right now, but I'm not going to put sauce on it. It doesn't need it.
Right.
It's just right. The sausage, man. I'm not a big. I think sausage is a good vessel for sauce, and I don't like using the term vessel and sausage in the same sentence.
I wasn't comfortable.
Sausage
with that.
Vessel.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what. That's what Tyler.
I was going to ask for hot links, but these are good.
Mm. Mm.
Which are very good.
So what about you, Michael? Any road trip stories?
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah. Way too many. The problem is I'm from an Air Force family, so we moved every 2 years, so we traveled everywhere. Back in the day, my father had bought a brand new rig. He bought a brand new 1963 GMC pickup. With an El Dorado custom design camper. He designed it and they kept the design and used it themselves.
Huh.
So it was a brand new GMC pickup. Brand new. It had power steering and power brakes, which was not available at the time, but he ordered it and they put it on there and we traveled everywhere. Air Force family, so we were everywhere, man. So for me it all just seems to blur.
Were you an only child?
No, I had five older brothers.
Five older brothers. How many more in the back of the truck in the camper?
It was me and my next older brother, Clifford, because my other brothers had already, you know, been in college and already off to school. So for me,
you were born in the Pacific Northwest, right?
Yes, Spokane, Washington.
Okay.
So on the Air Force base there, Fairchild. So for me, it's all one big blur of travel because we lived everywhere and overseas. So, but one of the things I did learn is when I finally was off on my own, I did this in Australia. They probably shouldn't know about this, but I might get in trouble for it. We decided that we wanted to get something to drink, man. So they had the honor bar back in the day. The service of the honor bars where you had to drink everything and then pay when you get downstairs. So the Australians taught me this. They're all raw at night. We're not going to pay for this. This is Jake. Excuse me. This is Johnny Walker. We got five bottles of Johnny Walker in here. Let's take the bottles. And what we'll do is we're gonna fill it up with water, and then we're gonna take a little bit of Coca-Cola, and we're gonna pour it in there to make the right color, and we'll seal it back, put it in the fridge, and we're done. So we did that a lot.
Wow.
So I learned to appreciate Johnny Walker. But that's what you do. That, you know, on the road, this is what we did. It goes, okay, well, $10 bottle, $20 bottle of scotch. A little bit of Coca-Cola in there, a little bit of water to get the right color and consistency. You're right back in. Right. We're done. So we did a lot of stuff like that. Did a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's that, and you can't do this anymore in the day, but we used to, like, you know, when we were meeting other people, other comedians and other folks that were meeting, you know, to do Australian tours or to New Zealand or whatever country, we would get, because back then it was a security like this, so we would go into the baggage claim area. And then we would get inside the baggage claim thing, and we'd have the conveyor.
The conveyor.
So the manager's waiting for us. Where the fuck are these guys? Excuse me. Sorry, pardon my friend. Right. Where the hell are these blokes? Where the are these blokes, right? So it starts up. The luggage comes out, and we come out pretending to drive. Like NASCAR. So we come out. And he's on the phone, and we come by and go, yo, what's up, man? He's like, what? I'm right. Oh, fuck you guys, right? Because we were sitting there, and we went right back in. It went around and went back inside, and we went back in, too. He goes, oh, this is, come on. Ron, Mike, you can't do that. We just did, yo.
We're going to do it again.
And I don't think anybody's done it since. Maybe Ricky Bobby or something. But nobody's done it since.
Well,
yeah, that'll get you kicked out of Applebee's.
Yeah, not only kicked out, probably arrested now.
Now you can't do that. It'll get you kicked out of Applebee's for sure.
That's right. So wait a minute. Hang on. Let's go back to this whole 1963 pickup, single cab, because they didn't have right. extended cabs, and you had a camper in the back. When we were when we were young, we had a 1978 custom deluxe C10 Chevrolet pickup.
Same.
That had a camper shell in the back.
Yeah.
And we were a family of four.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we became a family of five.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And five was in the baby seat, and it sat in the middle. It, that's my sister. Mm-hmm. I call her it. We don't get along. She sits in the middle of the cab with my mom and dad. My brother Bill and myself, who we were, you know, 6 and 10 at the time, would sit in the back of the truck, in the
right.
cab.
Right.
Right. And then, if it got too hot, you would open up the top half of it, just driving down the road. You'd open it up.
Nice.
Yeah, and you'd open the windows up. That when my dad had passed, that truck, my grandmother actually owned it, and she gave it to me as a gift. And it had that camper shell in it, and no 16-year-old boy wants a camper shell on his truck, you know.
Right.
So I took it off, and it was a mess, and it was all old and jacked up, and I put it beside our house for the trash man
right,
to pick it up.
Right.
And there was a crack house for a 19 early 90s, late 80s crack house. A lady came over and said, "Hey, I need money for me and my baby. Is it okay if can we have that? We want to recycle." And I said, "Yeah, just take it." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She came back when I was at school, and she took all the aluminum off and left the wooden shell for me to deal with on the side of the house.
What?
Yeah. No, she came and unscrewed it and took all the aluminum off to recycle it for money. That's my truck story.
Oh my God, that's wrong, man.
My dad, growing up, he worked for a contractor. I think it was called Texas Capital, and they would do all the rehab and like construction work for Army and different military bases mm-hmm. all over. So we lived, you know, all over the place growing up.
Right.
And that was his company truck, was a custom deluxe. And every year or
nice
two,
truck.
He would get a new version of that. And I remember a lot of, you know, laying in the floorboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because there's no safety seats or
no.
anything like that, you know.
Well, we would get screamed at. My grandma, we had a station wagon. She had one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the two oldest, well, I have twin brothers in the middle. One of us and me would get in the back and avoid eye contact with people behind us.
Oh, because the back seats face the other way.
Yeah.
Well, some
right.
of them did.
So,
some of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
grandma said, "Do not lay in the floorboard, you'll get gassed." That's what she would say.
You by gas. She meant,
you'll get gassed. Like,
she meant
you know, the
by
fumes
her.
She meant by her, yeah.
Yeah, like
some elderly flagellants is coming your way.
But yeah, that was one of her things. It's like, you'll get gassed.
I like your grandma already.
But she grew
She's
up.
A gas, man.
Yeah,
she grew up terrified that she was going to get kidnapped by gypsies at any moment. That was her fear.
I like her. Is she with us? No?
No, she's not.
Ah.
She's
that's an interesting feeling.
It's a very, very, a very, like Borat, a very Borat kind of story.
And Beaver, Oklahoma, the panhandle of Oklahoma, gypsies are going to come through and kidnap a Maggie Eunice, Durham.
God, Beaver, Oklahoma. There was, okay, I tell you, when I was saying, go.
Like gypsies, that's a big gypsy place.
Just like this this transition is very gypsy-like. When I was a new comic, I got a gig at Dodge City, and I would talk about my drive on the way up, and I had to go through the Oklahoma Panhandle. And so my first joke was, I'm making my way up to Dodge City, and I had to go through Hooker, Oklahoma, and I thought, oh, I don't want to go there, you know, that could be bad.
Okay,
and then it said 10 miles was Beaver, Oklahoma, so I'll head there. It was a terrible joke, but
yeah.
It had to do with geography at Beaver, Oklahoma. It was terrible. You can't do that anymore. You can't sit down on the floorboard of a car.
No. Yeah, I'm afraid not.
I wouldn't. I would. I would.
Just throw a lawn chair back in the truck.
That's right.
Yeah, lawn
right.
chairs.
Or sometimes if you didn't have the camper on, you were still in the back of the truck. That's how we get around town. You know?
Man, I remember, again, this is, I mean, I grew up in Arkansas, so kind of take this for what you will. But,
yeah.
We drove to Kansas City for a Royals game, Kansas City versus the Yankees.
Oh, and, God, yeah, that's a good game.
And the guy drove a Dodge Ram pickup truck. His name was Tin Dang. He was also Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
And we were driving, and three of us laid in the back of the truck from Batesville, Arkansas to Kansas City, Missouri.
So nobody would see you?
So nobody, well, it was just too, like, it was violent, the amount of how fast he was driving. And I look back and I'm not sure how we lived.
I was gonna say,
so
isn't
fast.
It lucky we're alive?
Oh man.
If he would have rear ended somebody, you guys would have been dead.
Dead.
dead. Or you got rear-ended. Like, any kind of sudden stop, you were dead.
I became aware of that right in the back of the camper. I was aware of that.
We hit, like, some railroad tracks in a small town, and we did get a little bit airborne, and that's probably one of the most terrified I've ever been was in the back of 10 dang Dodge Ram. Good times.
Riding the back of trucks a lot of fun.
Unless you're going to work.
That's true.
With shovels and stuff.
Yeah.
That's true.
Then you're just that sounds like an episode with McGee and DeNozzo on NCIS. Good times, Proby. Good times.
Good times.
Good times. All right, what else do we have? What's another topic?
I'm fascinated by, you know, reading a little bit of your story and learning that as a child, you started to sort of teach yourself how to make these sound effects, right?
Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of friends.
Wow.
I had none because we moved every 2 years.
We moved.
It was impossible. The worst time. That was part of the worst times ever. I didn't know anybody, really. Most of the kids are pretty damn mean, so.
Yeah.
I ended up having to entertain myself. I ended up having to make up my own imaginary friends.
So is that how it began? Just sort of voices for friends?
For me, it was a coping mechanism for me.
Right.
I couldn't cope. All my brothers were old. My next oldest brother is 6 years older than me, so he had his own friends. I was on my own.
Yeah. So. Do you remember any of your earliest sound effects, or have you? I guess I'm kind of interested in the idea of perfecting a sound effect over time.
Well, on the airbase, we lived next to the active runway, so that stuff all the time.
Oh yeah.
So it was always. That all the time, so. I don't know how this is going to sound when you play it back, but we'll find out.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. So you were, since your father was in the Air Force, did you spend any time overseas as a child?
Well, my brothers did, because I was almost born in Japan, so they had to come back. That's why I ended up in Spokane, because we had to really haul ass back.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want me born in a foreign country. Because it would cause me problems later in life. I mean, look how much trouble they're giving people just for being born in Hawaii.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, get so much trouble just for that. So my dad knew, oh, this is going to be, I'm not going to put up with this mess. So he brought us all back.
Tyler, you were born in Hawaii, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think I was born in Kenya, but.
See, that's what I was waiting for. Are those Kenyan drums?
Those
Kenyan drums?
Yeah.
Those are Kenyan barbecue drums. He's still eating and he can do this.
Oh, the tiger! Today we're going to have barbecue tiger.
That was my childhood right there.
Pretty close.
My grandma calling me in for dinner.
Because she said it was a goss or whatever she was doing.
Gypsies.
To you.
Gypsies.
What's up for the gypsies?
Gypsies. Yeah, gypsies.
Damn gypsies. We're going to burn at the gypsies.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Comedy Barbecue Podcast. If you want to check us out where we're on the road, Daryl Felsberg will be July 27th through the 30th. He'll be at Looney Bin Comedy Club in Oklahoma City. And August 4th through the 6th, he'll be at Looney Bin Comedy Club in Wichita, Kansas. You can also check out Daryl at his website, darylfelsberg.com. You can check me out on Twitter at Brandon Davidson. Daryl's on there at Daryl Felsberg. Tyler is on there at Tyler and Tyler. And hey, if you want to catch a show with Tyler and me, we every first Thursday of the month in Tyler, Texas, we run a stand-up show at Jules in Tyler, Texas. I'm also at Hyenas Comedy Nightclub every weekend in September. For more information on those shows, go to hyenascomedynightclub.com. We'd love to see you come out to a show. Shoot me a message, and I'll get you in that show for free, and a free piggyback ride if you want that as well. All right, guys, let's get back to the show.
So hang on. All right, we were – I'm hung up on this deal, Mike. You were – okay, we did the Gong Show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was like your first attempt really at show business.
Well, the first professional one, or semi-pro, if you want to call it that.
Because what did you
– I don't even remember.
You don't remember what you did prior to that. I mean, because it was 1976, 77, when you kind of started doing stuff.
I hitchhiked to California about 78, April 78.
Wow.
And so we know about living homeless on the beach and the issue with the gangs and what have you. So that was your first shot. What happened after that?
After that, it was a series of years and years of trying to get jobs and dealing with comedy clubs that hated what I did. You make noises, that's not traditional. Get out.
They didn't like you because of the sound effects.
They hated it. And because of the elitism and the little cliques and little groups, and it was all just a mindless bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. But I had to put up with it. I had to put up with it all. And I just found people that would let me work their places, and they liked it. They saw it. They saw it as an art form.
You saw it as fun. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was great.
Sure.
It's talent.
And we got there, but it just took a long time.
So, and I know somewhat of the story and how you got your opportunity at Police Academy, but share with us, how did that come about?
I think by that point I was almost out of being homeless. I was almost into like a single apartment or a beat up place in the valley. I think I was just about to get in there or was about to get into a place to live or something like that. I'm trying to remember what it was, but I was opening for Count Basie in his orchestra, and that's how I ended up getting.
Wow.
Because the producer and director of Academy were jazz fanatics, so, and the musicians, so they came to the show. Because they were writing Academy at the time, and they said, well, let's take a break. And they turned on the Cheech and Chong Film Festival, because they were running a bunch of Cheech and Chong films. They said, who's the crazy guy with the noises? This is interesting. Let's go see this guy. So they went and saw me at the show, and I was the opening for him, and it was just me and Count Basie and the orchestra, and I ended up getting them introduced to Count Basie, and we had big audio problems. We had huge audio problems, and I had to fix them. Because at the time, the promoter wouldn't pay the money, you know, to get a proper sound system. He got a Radio Shack.
Yeah.
A ceiling speaker system for Count Basie's orchestra, because he wanted to be cheap.
Uh-huh.
And it kept blowing out and burning out, and I had to go in there and dig through the whole system and fix it myself. That's why I get freaked out about sound systems not being right.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm dealing with this from 1978 all the way to 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And it still continues. You know, fighting over sound and audio still is a big issue. We still go to war over it. Yeah. Still to this day. So yeah, I may have a PTSD about it. I probably do.
But you just because of that issue,
the stress of that, and people threatening you, and we're not going to do the sound system, and get out, and you know, and I don't care, and you know, we're not going to get your money. I mean, that stuff weighs on a comedian's mind. It weighs on a person, especially when you're by yourself.
Sure.
It's a big issue, so if I'm a little oversensitive about it, I have a right to be.
Well, and I can even see, as somebody who, from a stand-up perspective, mm-hmm. holding a microphone and with just being up there with my thoughts is one thing,
yep.
uh-huh. but I can't imagine the amount of just microphone technique that you
have. Oh,
yeah,
I had to learn it all, and I had to do all the sound mics. I had to fix all their systems, especially when they're pieces of garbage, and I remember having people going, what? Just do the damn show. I can get a $50 comedian to come in here and do this. Yeah, well, you will get a $50 show.
Right.
And that got me a bad reputation. I fight for my craft. I fight for my abilities. I fight for what I know I can do. But I have to fight every step of the way. It's a sword fight every single day.
Wow.
Every day is a sword fight.
Yeah.
But getting back to Count Basie, mm-hmm. I introduced them. The system blew out finally for the last time. It actually fused.
Really?
You could actually smell.
Yeah.
You could actually smell electric. So, and the orchestra couldn't stop. I couldn't keep going back there. So, I took my microphone or my pig nose, and I had a Roland Cube 20.
Uh-huh.
I had a Roland Cube, and I took the microphone and put it in Count Basie's piano so they could hear him.
Oh, wow.
It made the promoter look really bad.
Right.
He was mad at me. But introducing him to the producer, Count Basie said, you take care of this young man. Because he helped us, so you help him. And they said, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will. So they wrote me into the picture.
They wrote you into the movie?
Yeah.
Something?
And Neil Israel and Pat Proff wrote the original script, and Hugh Wilson rewrote it.
Wow.
So Motormouth wasn't in the original script?
No.
And that blows my mind because throughout all of the police academies, you were in every one of them.
Right. Well, after Academy came out, you know, all the clubs hated me. And then
after the first Police Academy came out, they didn't hate me anymore.
Right.
They just resented me.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Sure.
When you're nobody, they hate you. When you become somebody, they resent you.
Yeah.
So, and that was kind of my experience, you know, just getting started in the business.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I don't want to be negative about it, but
no.
the outcome was positive, and
well, I think,
you know, having the ability to do what I'm doing was a positive. But I really had to administrate a lot of the negatives to make them positives.
Well, I think back to my own childhood and being in that time and not realizing it then, but now as an adult looking back at it and seeing your influence throughout popular music of the time, how beatboxing really well.
Yes.
Biz Markie.
Fatboys.
Even today.
Dougie Fresh.
Biz Markie.
Oh my gosh.
Even today, Reggie Watts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Today is Reggie. And
you were on Animal, you played with Animal Collective at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
You did.
Open for Animal Collective and Larry Graham of Graham Central Station with Cynthia from Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah. Right. You were on, and if I'm remembering this right, were you the robot voice on Run the Jewels?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes. But we see it's all in little small giant steps.
Yeah.
Little big man, like that movie with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Big little steps. And like I said, it's a work in progress, and I don't know the outcome yet.
During the break, we'll plug your website and your Facebook page, your
social.
But I know you spent a great deal overseas, and
yes, I do.
You're in Europe quite a bit.
Yes, Australia,
Australia, they adore
South
you there.
Africa, Dubai, because stand-up comedy is now huge in those countries now. So all those years of Johnny Carson and Joan Rivers and Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall and seeing all these comedians and seeing everything on satellite made everyone want to do the same thing. So now you go to the Dubai Comedy Festival, they want to do stand-up in English.
Oh, wow.
You go to Egypt, you know, well, that kind of got shut down. But
yeah.
But you go to Tel Aviv, you go to Bucharest, you go to Sofia, you go to Istanbul. They want to do stand-up in English because they want to see what they want to. Everybody wants to do stand-up the same way now.
And these are some places.
The Eastern Bloc, I was just in the Baltics, and it's huge.
Yeah, well, and you recorded one of the police academies in Moscow, right?
Correct, number 7.
Yeah.
But and some of these places are places that really are, you know, free speech is not up there on their
you better be funny or you die.
Right.
So that's where Funny or Die came from. I wonder where that came from.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess that's a cap, right?
That's it.
That was great.
Yeah, you did great, Tyler. Appreciate everything you've done today and your efforts. You did a lot of research today.
Wait, wasn't this supposed to be Facebooking Live? He was going to Facebook Live, but I couldn't pick up a good signal when we got in.
Not my fault. But
we will take a picture of all of us.
Yeah,
we'll get that up on the website, on the fan page.
Absolutely. All right,
let's get going.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Brandon.
We'll see you on the next one.
All right.
You may press pound to press stop.
Thank you, Sneary.
You're not welcome. Kiss my...
Wow, God, Siri's cousin, Sneary.
Just let him know. Let him go. Let him
do it.
Let him do it. Let him get it out. Sit here.
And now we return you to our local station.
And will not be talented. Just let him be talented.
Revolution will not be televised. Well, yes, it will. It will be televised, but it's going to be on Periscope.